This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
We're going to look at Acts chapter 3 today, if you'd like to find that in your Bibles. Andrew is going to come and read it to us, first of all, and then I'm going to explain a bit more. So, do you want to put it on there? There you go. It's all yours, Andrew.
One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 p.m. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going to the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking by his right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. While the men held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running into the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if it were by our power or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that the murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man who you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he foretold through the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent then and turn to God, so your sins may be wiped away, and that the refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus."
Thank you, Andrew. This is God's word to us. It's absolutely right, and it's given to us because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. We'll come back to that passage in a moment. I wanted you to just to remind you, just in case you'd forgotten, that you're really loved. You're really loved. However you feel this morning, whether or not you like yourself particularly, you need to know that God really loves you. And if nothing else, one of the reasons we come together like this on a Sunday morning is to remind ourselves and with each other that we are loved. We can go home now, actually. That's probably all you need. You're really loved. You are. You're known and you are loved. And I just really encourage you in the course of this next, the time you're with us, whether it's during the worship we've just had or when we pray for one another or as I'm speaking, just receive something from God's love for you today. Go away different from the way you arrived. As Josh said, I want to introduce to you our theme for the year. We tend to have a theme for the year to give us a focus. I mentioned it last week. The theme this year is Kingdom, Power, Glory. Kingdom, Power, Glory. Yeah, that's better. These are big biblical words. They're laden with rich meaning and they're potent to inspire us and move us. And it'll take a whole year just to even to start to quarry the depths of their meaning and to reckon with their implications. I want to introduce some of the bigger sort of concepts and interpretations behind these words today. And I'm expecting it not all to be clear. I'm sorry if this is the only time you're coming to Leeds Vineyard, because you probably leave with more questions than answers. But I want to start the ball rolling because these are such big words. And I'm hoping over the coming months that they'll become clearer as we engage with them, as we study the scriptures with that lens, as we look at the specific words themselves. Has anybody here, this is a rhetorical question, but I might come back to you later, has anybody here seen God's power in their lives recently? Have a think. Where have you encountered God's power in your life recently? We'll come back to you maybe in a moment to find out more, give you time to think about that. Alison and I, as I said last week, when we were on sabbatical last summer, we spent some time researching what they call revival in the north and the south and the west of the country of the UK. And we came back with a hunger to see the inbreaking of God into our culture, into our lives, into our church. We had an inbreaking this week in our household, an inbreaking of water through the roof to the ceiling. I don't know if that's meaningful or not. I'd rather not have had that. That's not the sort of inbreaking we want. We want an inbreaking of God's power and kingdom and glory in our lives. A starting point for this is to remember the power of God that raised Jesus to new life from the dead. It trips off our tongues easily when we talk about the resurrection. I mentioned last week how nearly half of the population believe in the resurrection. It's amazing. Nearly half the people you know, every other person you know, if you ask them, according to the research, would say they believe in the resurrection of Jesus. But when you think about the power that it takes to raise somebody from the dead, it doesn't happen terribly often. The giving of life is amazing, but to take a dead body and then to resurrect it for that to become alive again. I mean, the cosmic, extraordinary magnificence of that is hard to, our brains can't cope with it. But that's the source of the power that we should be seeing in our lives. That's Jesus' resurrection is the first fruit of the power being released into our lives, new life coming into our lives. Alison and I, over the years, have witnessed the power of God coming into people's lives. Many of you here, seeing you transformed as people learn that you're loved, that you're forgiven, that you are being healed, that you can be restored in relationships and in your life. You can be given purpose for life. You can find meaning where there is none. You can become who you are meant to be, who you were created to be, becoming more and more like Jesus. We heard some great stories in the revival. There's one I want to tell you, which is told by Thomas Darlington, who was one of the revivalists. He was from Cardiff, but he was working in Cornwall, and he recounts a story when, because the miners in Cornwall were, most of them were alcoholics, and it was not a good situation. And the revival came, and he said he knew of one miner who drank beer out of a teapot with his meals. During the Cornish revival, that miner came to him and said, "The Lord has converted me, has converted my wife, and has converted the teapot." That was great. From beer to tea. And sometimes God chooses to intervene and release power to heal today. When Alice and I were first learning about this Well, not first learning about it, but after our first encounter with the vineyard, we came back from our very first sort of proper vineyard conference nearly 40 years ago, and we're sort of completely compelled by what we'd seen as we'd been taught how to pray for the sick, but not having really any idea what we were doing. And we were in our 20s, and we were staying at my parents' house just not far from here. And some friends, school friends, who'd also been in our youth group, and they'd come to visit. I can't quite remember how it came about, but I just remember being in my parents' lounge, and this couple of our age came in to visit. Some of you will know them. And she was hobbling, more than hobbling, she was on crutches, and she hadn't broken her ankle, but she'd really badly torn her ligaments and was in significant pain. We'd just come back from this conference, so we thought, oh, right, we should pray for this. This is what we should do. You know, we've just been taught. We've been at a conference. And so we laid hands on her leg, and we prayed our best joined-up prayers, not sure we had any idea what we were doing. And a second later, she was running around the room gleefully. I mean, I don't know what happened. We just sort of did by rote what we'd been taught and asked God to heal her, and he did. And that sort of set us off. That changed the trajectory of our lives, really. Oh, there's power. One of our first experiences. Many of you will know that we run what we call the Lantern, which is a meal and a service every Sunday afternoon for the guys who live on the streets, the ones with, they've got chaotic lives and not generally welcome in most places. And we do this meal for them hand in hand with Cornerstone. In fact, Liz Harden, who heads that up for us, is at Cornerstone Baptist Church around the corner talking about it today. And many of you will also know that St. George's Crypt runs a similar thing. We've modeled ours on theirs. Long established, brilliant ministry. And Katie Dowds, who works down there, wrote to us a few months ago because she came up to the Lantern here just to observe and watch. And she wrote this. She says, for years, Maureen would come to Lighthouse, that's the one at St. George's, and ask for prayer week in, week out, to be reunited with her daughter, Sarah. Katie says, if I'm honest, it wasn't a prayer I had much hope for. I came to the Lantern and I watched her proudly and protectively sitting next to Sarah in a safe place where the love of Jesus was being proclaimed and enacted. It was such a reminder of the grace of God and the power of persistent prayer, the power of God. So we experience the presence and power of God today in our lives. And I suspect we could have lots more stories as you think about it and remember what the Lord's been doing. If you want to see lots of that in one concentrated moment, sign up for Ignite and Equip. No, Equip and Ignite. It doesn't really matter. Just sign up for that thing. And it's going to be it may well change the course of lots of people's lives. I'd make sure you're there. So, kingdom, power, and glory. Where should we go with this? We could say that the kingdom, we could say, is the what and the when and the where of our ministry. The what and the when and the where. And then we could say that the power is the how. And we could say that the glory is the why. So the kingdom is the what, the when, and the where. It's to do with God's rule and reign on earth. We say that the kingdom is where God is ruling and reigning, primarily, predominantly in the church, but not entirely, not completely, not exclusively. It's where we see heaven on earth. We sang a song, can't remember which one, it has that wonderful line about heaven and earth together. Where we see that happening in salvation, in healing, in deliverance, in peace, in restoration of relationships, in forgiveness, in grace, when we feed the poor, when we set the captives free, the kingdom is that place, geographical as well as spiritual, where God is at work and where he rules and reigns. It's the prevailing against the forces of evil. The what and the where. The kingdom is also the power is the how. It's the power that I talked about at the beginning that raised Jesus from the dead, brings about the kingdom. And we can learn to wait for the power, to see the power. We can learn to wait for God's authority to be expressed. We can look for that inbreaking, for it to be released, for us to be strengthened by God's power. We can grow in faith to expect God's power to impact our lives, my life, your life. Not our power, but His power. And the why, the glory, this is the context and the purpose of it all. The glorious discovery of our ultimate purpose, which is for the world to know and worship God. When we respond to what God's power has done in our lives, when we see the kingdom around us, we worship, we glorify Jesus. We give Him glory. And hidden, this is something we'll explore, but hidden in that declaration of glory, you are glorious, God. And in that declaration, hidden in that is an expectation of His return when heaven and earth will be together again. The technical term is an eschatological expectation hidden within that glorious declaration. Let me just... big ideas, we'll explore those more. I want to throw three other big ideas out as another way of exploring it. So we could say that the kingdom is the manifestation of God's rule and reign. So where God is ruling and reigning, the kingdom becomes manifest. And then we could say that the power is the manifestation of God's authority. So where God's authority is expressed and we see, it's visible or experiential, we see God's power come. And we could say that the glory is, depending on whether we're using it as a statement of what we do or a description of who God is, glorifying Jesus is the manifestation of worship. When there's wonder and amazement and astonishment and surprise, all words from that reading that Andrew read, Jesus is glorified. But glory is also the manifestation of God's holiness. The way He's set apart and transcendent. When that manifests, it's glorious. And we'll read about that in Exodus a lot. I've just thrown out some lofty ideas, and we'll explore those more. Let's just spend a few minutes going back to that story that Andrew read for us and seeing how it works out, okay? So Acts 3, 1-20, if you find that on your device or in your Bible. This is a story from the early days of the church. If you're not familiar with your Bible, then just search for it in contents. Has anybody got it in the Pew Bible? Can you tell me what page number it is? 822 in the Pew Bibles. This is a story from the very earliest days of the church, when they didn't have a name for Christians, they didn't have a name for the church, they didn't really know what was happening. Jesus had died, He had risen from the dead, which was blowing their minds, and then He ascended, they didn't know what that was either. And Peter, in sort of confusion and ignorance and everything else, was wandering into the temple like he would do, like a good Jew, going to worship. And the beggar was where he probably always was. Peter probably knew him, and he sees him, and something happens. He goes into sort of Jesus mode, and this may be the first time this had ever happened to Peter, possibly. And just imagine yourself. It's hard to imagine all the backdrop, but you're seeing this beggar, and all of a sudden something happens, and you clock him, and you think, now what should I do? A bit like when Alison and I met our friend after we'd been to the conference. We thought, I think we're meant to pray for the sick. And Peter's looking at this beggar and thinking, what do I do? What shall I do? What would Jesus do? He was wearing one of those bands on his wrist. What? WWJD. They all did, you know, the apostles. Did you know that? They all had them. What do I say? What do I believe? This was crunch time for Peter. Crunch time. Anybody recognize crunch time when it comes to praying? Yeah, I can see a few nods there. Peter was there. He's thinking to himself, everything we've seen, everything I've been saying in my sermons, just before that he'd been preaching some amazing sermons about the power of God. He says, I've been saying it. Does the kingdom, the coming of the kingdom, extend to this beggar's, this lame person's body? Can I buy the glory of God with my silver and gold? What happens if I just walk on, as I normally do? It's safe. Nobody's expecting me to do anything. There'll always be beggars and lame people and poor people. No one's particularly watching me. So I just walk by? And he didn't know what was going to happen, but maybe looking back, you're thinking, if I had walked by, there'd be no power, no kingdom, no glory, no story, no integrity, nothing compelling, no testimony. I wouldn't be doing this now, reading it to you. He didn't know all that at that point. He wasn't sure what was going to happen. What would you do? Think of a time when you've stood in front of somebody to pray for. Maybe we've had people at the front here and I've invited you to come and pray, and some of you hate it when I do that, but you come anyway and you stand in front and you just don't know what to do. Anybody been there? I've been there. Or when you're with a neighbor or a friend at work and they maybe if somebody says, why don't you, please could you pray for me? You're a Christian. You pray, don't you? And you think, what do I do? What happened when you did do that? Did they get healed? Did they encounter Jesus? How confident are you? Do you feel nervous or inadequate? This is a healing community. This is where we are all invited by Jesus to understand and learn how to operate in and live within these dimensions of the kingdom, of his power, of his glory. This is a place where we long for and expect the Holy Spirit to come and use every one of us to do the stuff, as we say, to pray for the sick, to feed the poor, to release the captives. What's the phrase that we use to describe that? Everybody? Oh, goodness me, if you're a guest, you're not going to be impressed. I know about half of you have done Discovering Vineyard, and we hammer this home. Everybody? Everybody gets to play. I think we'll do that again. Everybody? I might be the pastor, but who are the ministers in this church?
We are.
Yeah, excellent. So Peter decides to step out in faith. He decides to take a risk. He decides to do what Jesus did, what Jesus had taught us and commissioned us to do, and he goes for broke. Verses 4 to 5. Peter said, look at us. He eyeballs him. Look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Imagine the dramatic tension at that moment. The beggar's delighted. He's expecting cash, or maybe a drink, or a sausage from Greg's. What's he expecting? And is this, they're looking at each other. I haven't got any money. You can imagine the guys. Verse 6. Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. I'd love to have been there. I'd love to have been there. Walk. Peter calls on the authority of Jesus. When he says, in the name of Jesus, that's the equivalent to saying, by the authority of Jesus, I do this. And power comes, boom. And I said, power is the manifestation of Jesus' authority. He calls on Jesus' authority, boom, power comes. In this time, in the form of physical healing. Verse 7, taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. And then he walks and he jumps like our friend did and praises God. There's no hype in this, and there's no hype in the way we do prayer ministry, because we want to know that when we see extraordinary things, that it is the power of Jesus. It's not some emotionalism or autosuggestion. And when we go to Equip and Ignite, you'll see lots of this and it won't be hyped at all. The lights will be on, the music won't be there, it'll be ordinary. God's rule and reign at that moment broke into the world. Into the temple forecourt, how ironic. God in the temple. And where God rules, there we see the kingdom. There is an inbreaking of the kingdom. The kingdom is the manifestation of God's rule and reign. Where the power comes and the kingdom breaks in, the response is physical and loud and draws attention. And the people would have known the man well. And he's walking and jumping and praising God. There's wonder, amazement, verse 10. Verse 11, astonished. Verse 12, surprised. That's what it should be like in here. And Peter has to explain. My job should be explaining why you're all surprised and amazed, because God's doing stuff amongst us. Verse 12, fellow Israelites, fellow vineyarders, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we've made this man walk? The God of our fathers, we sang about earlier on, has glorified his servant Jesus. God's power at work, an inbreaking of the kingdom, and the result is glory to Jesus. The healed man's praise and the wonder of the onlookers imputes glory and honor to Jesus. The giving of glory is a manifestation of worship. Kingdom, power, glory. An inbreaking of the kingdom by the power of the risen Jesus bringing glory. This is what we want to see. This is what we want to explore in this year. This is what we want to learn and understand, to grapple with, to become familiar with. We want to see it, and we want to become effective ministers of Jesus' ministry and engage in a glorious, glorifying, worshipful response. Amen. Would you like to do that this year? Those of you who are part of Leeds Vineyard, say yes, David, please. I put a lot of effort into this. I think I've got it right. I think this is what we're meant to be doing. More next week. Let's pray. Shall we pray? Alison, are you going to join me? Howard, Ganita, can you come and help me? I think God wants to do something among us. Don't be shy. Come up here. Come up here. Let's just wait. Holy Spirit, I invite you to come. May let your kingdom come. Come, Holy Spirit. We want to see your power and your glory. We want to see your kingdom come. Come, Holy Spirit. Let him come. Just wait on him. See if he speaks. Well, he's speaking all the time. See if we hear.
I got a sense when David was talking earlier about people having seen God's power in their life recently, that there was a real sense of frustration in some people. It's like, oh, I want that, but I haven't seen anything like that recently, and I really want to. And yeah, so it was an encouragement this morning to reach out to him and expect to have that faith, to take the risk, and he will answer your prayer.
Just in connection to that, it was just that line that Peter said about, why do you stare at us as if by our own power or righteousness we could have any power powers to heal, as if. I don't know if you've ever prayed for people, but sometimes when you do see that, it's like, as if it was me, as if we have that power. We don't. Well, in ourselves is what I mean. And it was just a real sense of, to do as well related to Howard's thing, but if you would love to see God's kingdom, God's power, God's glory, would you like to, are we doing the stand up? I feel like I'm bossing now. Stand up. But I just feel like it's an invitation to stand up and make, it's a commitment to a faith of obedience. It's not a commitment to a faith of being able to be a super, you know, it's a faith of obedience to believe in who Jesus is, to know that we just can't even do it without his power, but to commit to do what he says, whatever the outcomes, and that's it. Sort of in a nutshell. I don't know if...
I just had a sense of someone here, it's like an emotional issue, but you feel it on your shoulders, it's pains in your shoulders and in your stomach.
Okay. We'll come back to that in a minute. Just invite people to speak.
Okay. So if you feel, and even if you're like shaking and, you know, I don't know what I'm actually committing to say, if you would like to stand and just, we can pray for you, for you to commit to a faith of just obedience, knowing that it's not you, but it's Jesus, and believing in him.
Come on, she'll keep talking. Just no, it's stand.
Just, that's
what, it'll be everybody, probably.
Oh, dear.
So let's just... we adopt this position, you know, the receiving positions. You don't have to, but it's just your body is doing the same thing as your heart and your mind. And Alison's going to pray a powerful prayer that you can receive the power of God and the courage to go and put your hand out and pray for the sick and speak words of truth and kingdom to people.
Okay. Well, Lord, for some of us, it's a significant moment of just recognizing that we can't do it on our own. And we've bought into that lie, some of us. We've prayed for people and we haven't seen things happen. And we've bought into that lie that, well, we can't do it, so therefore we were better not, because what's the point? Well, you know if you've been there, you know what the narratives are that go on. But Lord, we just come to you and we just say, we absolutely know we can't do it. And we're going to give up trying to do it. Because no, it's not about us. So we pray for forgiveness, for buying into those lies, for letting those lies affect our thoughts when we're sitting in a Sunday morning and looking at ministry and, you know, all the different ways that they affect our abilities to take risks, to go with what you're saying, to even dare to ask you to show us what we're doing, what you're doing. So we just break the power of those lies in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
And Lord, would you just seed and plant and grow in us a deep conviction, deeper than we've known so far, that it just is all about you. And all we need to be just believe in who you are. And leave you to sort out the outcomes of whatever prayers we pray for people. So I just pray, I come against discouragement from where people have prayed and they haven't seen what they have loved to see.
It's an upgrade, Mike. You've been in third gear. It's
so just, Lord, would you just grow in us a trust, an ability to just... trust you, even if it means we look a bit silly in the process.
Let him come. Receive this. Receive it. If you're anything like me, you don't have the right words. You don't quite know what the thought is, but you want to be used by God. You want to see his power come. So just receive. Lord, I pray that you'll bless people now with your commissioning and your power to pray. Let him come.
and we say to you, Lord, we won't focus on the outcomes. We will celebrate the times when we see your kingdom come and your power and your glory evidence with it with us. And when we don't see that, we will celebrate the fact that you've called us to this and that we've stepped out and done it anyway. And we'll focus on you. We won't focus on the outcomes.
That's what you're doing. Yeah. And come, Molly. I'm going to say goodbye to the guys online. Thank you for being with us. We're going to carry on praying for a few minutes. I think there's some specific things the Lord wants to do. So thank you for joining with us. Have a good week. See you next week.